Call this meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. It is Thursday, November 16, 2017, at 10:06 a.m. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission, joined by Commissioner Brian Crosius, Commissioner Julie Fedorchek, so we have a quorum. I will, even though I'm running late, take a few minutes for some opening comments. I attended at least the parts that I could of Basin Electric Power Cooperative's annual meeting last week. And one of the things that they do at their evening reception is honor employees on round numbers anywhere from 5 to 40 years of service. And being from up in that Mercer County area, a lot of those people who were recognized are dear friends. But it made me think about the evolution of that plant and industry in North Dakota. You know, that gasification plant was designed and constructed back in the 70s when the scientific community around the world had, you know, come to pretty much a consensus that the planet was pretty much out of natural gas. And the only way we were going to be able to heat our homes with gas was to make it out of coal. And so they did that, and then 10 years later, it turned out all the scientists had been wrong, and the Earth has plenty of natural gas. And prices fell, and the government's plant was a boondoggle, and Basin Electric took it over. And two things happened. While there was another surge in gas prices that benefited them, their great employees found all kinds of additional efficiencies to make the plant more profitable. But I think most interesting was the fact that those employees found all kinds of new products they could make in that process, anywhere from selling the CO2, which they're able to capture in that gasification process as opposed to an electric plant, selling that for enhanced oil recovery, to all kinds of things that my eyes gloss over when they tell me about them. And now, after all these, you know, several decades, I guess, they're on the verge of a couple of new products. And this is probably, I think, maybe the most costly of the transitions. This is about a $700 or $800 million project that's been going on for 4 years. They expect to be operational shortly after the first of the year. Not everything has gone perfectly. They got it about, you know, significant of the way constructed, and we got high winds or a tornado. I don't think it's ever been certain quite what it was, but it blew a bunch of it all down, and it's been quite a process that they've had to go through, but they're on the verge of finishing it, and as many as 900 people have been employed in that process out there of constructing it. And I think there's going to be about 50 permanent additional employees now with the fertilizer. But and my ag background, I guess, makes this so interesting to me. But the two products, one is a diesel fuel supplement to lower NOx emissions. And the other one is a dry farm fertilizer. And, you know, almost all the fertilizer that we use in North Dakota and, well, the United States in ag production comes from overseas. And now we're going to produce 1,100 tons a day of urea right here in North Dakota. Going to be a benefit to our ag industry, a benefit to keeping that plant going, and just a tremendous story of innovative people at a giant chemistry lab in the plains of North Dakota coming up with all kinds of great ideas. And I was just thrilled to see it. I know there's been struggles throughout these 4 years of getting it all done, and like the new projects that they've done over the last three decades, I'm guessing this is not going to work perfectly on day one when they turn the switches on either. But they seem to keep fighting along and finding new ways, and I'm inspired by it. Commissioner Crosius?
Oh, I would echo. I was at the meeting as well and echo the same thoughts. You summed it up very well. And I believe they came in under budget. If I remember right, for some reason, $18 million is sticking in my mind on the urea plant, despite the problems that they faced and challenges. So, it is absolutely a great project for the state. One other thing, we'll be holding over my first agenda item on the regular agenda, BK-1. There was a discrepancy. We believe in some of the language that's contained within the order, and we just want to make sure we have it right. So it's going to be held over. We'll be able to review that a little more closely. We just spotted that as we were having a pre-meeting discussion, so that will be held over.
Okay. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Well, I just got back last night from the Neighbor Convention in Baltimore, and it was a good opportunity to meet with a lot of new commissioners. There's a lot of new commissioners, especially in the Midwest area, and get to know those folks and start developing those relationships. And also, one of the highlights for me was the completion of the rural and the natural gas task force that seeks to look at unserved and underserved areas. That was a task force that's been going on for the last 10 months. I was the vice chair of that group, and it really looked at what are some of the big hurdles in the nation for expanding natural gas, and what are some states doing to get over those hurdles. And it's a really great report that makes about 8 different recommendations for commissions and states to consider in how they might tackle those projects. It'll provide some additional food for thought for North Dakota to look at. A lot of the things are things we've been thinking about and studying a bit, but nevertheless, some states have really successfully accomplished some of these targeted ways to expand natural gas, and I want to more in-depth explore some of those success stories. And this report really compiles that information in a comprehensive way from throughout the country, and it makes it available to commissions like ours and others throughout the country. So it's a good body of work from NARUC, and I was pleased to be part of it and pleased to see that come to an end and to be released at the NARUC conference. So that was one of the highlights for me, and I'm glad to be back and getting back into the swing of things here after being gone for a number of days.
Good to have you back.
Brian, did you say it was BK1 on the consent agenda or on the regular agenda that will be with?
Regular agenda.
Okay. BK1 on so regular. Then moving to the consent agenda, there are still 4 items on the consent agenda plus previous meeting minutes, and I would move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, and BK1 has been withheld, and so we'll move to BK2.
All right, thank you.
Which is what you're sometimes known as.
Yes, BK2.
There was a lot of that being shared at NARUC. I'll let you know. BK2 was even known in the NARUC circles.
Made it all the way to the East Coast.
Well, I hope for good reason. All right. I move the commission to assess a filing fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing a Northern States Power Company 150-megawatt Foxtail Wind Project, Dickey County, Public Convenience and Necessity Case Number PU-17-387.
Second.
On October 27th, 2017, Northern States Power Company filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity. NSP proposes to acquire and operate a proposed 150-megawatt Foxtail Wind Project in Dickey County as a part of a portfolio of wind projects that NSP contends will result in significant energy cost savings. The issues to be considered in this matter are: number one, whether public convenience and necessity will be served by construction and operation of the facilities. Two, whether the applicant is fit, willing, and able to provide service. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by December 27th, 2017. If deemed appropriate, the Commission can determine the matter without a hearing. For more information, contact the Public Service Commission at 701-328-2400. And just a couple of bullet points on this project. It's part of NSP's 1,550-megawatt portfolio. There was an addition to that portfolio as a separate case. NSP currently serves 94,000 retail electric customers in North Dakota. And this particular facility is going to be located, would be located 20 miles west of Ellendale and cover approximately 20,000 acres in terms of the footprint. They have selected Wanzek Construction at this time. They estimate 150 construction jobs and 8 full-time jobs once the project is completed. Formal hearing for this wind facility as well, separate case number 17-284, will be in Ellendale this coming Monday at 11 o'clock. So we will have this one to take a look at on Monday as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion approved.
Okay, the second one that I have. I move the commission adopt the order granting an advanced determination of prudence and issuing First Amendment Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, number 5870, in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group Incorporated, Advanced Prudence, Thunder Spirit Wind Expansion, application case number PU-17-268, and Thunder Spirit Wind Expansion Project, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-17-269.
Second.
On June 30th, 2017, Montana Dakota Utilities Company filed for an advanced determination of prudence, case number PU-17-268, and in an amendment to Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, number 5870, case number PU-17-269, to authorize a proposed expansion of its Thunder Spirit Wind Project in Adams County, North Dakota. On August 16th, 2017, the Commission consolidated the two cases for purposes of hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code 69-02-04-04 and issued a Notice of Opportunity for Consolidated Hearing, which provided until September 27th, 2017, for receiving written comments and hearing requests. No response was received. The notice identified the following issues to be considered. One, is MDU's proposed Thunder Spirit Wind Project expansion investment prudent? Two, whether public convenience and necessity will be served by the expansion? And three, whether the applicant is fit, willing, and able to provide service? Now, this project in total authorizes an increase in Thunder Spirit nameplate generating capacity from 150 megawatt to 155.5 megawatts in order to offset system losses and enable delivery of the full 150 megawatt interconnection entitlement into the electric transmission grid. The existing turbines that are constructed right now are 43 2.5 megawatt wind turbines on 80 meter towers. The expansion would be 3 megawatt turbines, a total of 16, for an increase of 48 megawatts, and the expansion is anticipated to be approximately $85 million in terms of cost. Elite Clean Energy is the developer of the project. MDU has two options. One is to enter into a purchase power agreement with an option to purchase or to purchase, and MDU intends to exercise the ownership option as it anticipates additional savings of about $4.7 million. And over 25 years, the levelized production cost is estimated to be $22.40 compared to MISO energy market purchases, which have been at $24.95 per megawatt hour when you look at the annual average price of energy over the past 5 years. So cost savings related to that, as mentioned, we've got 16 3-megawatt turbines, and the work to install the additional 16 turbines, they anticipate that would be completed by the end of 2018.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I'll just mention that I think there's two key things on this. The project serves both capacity and energy needs. So the company needed more capacity and down the road. This helps them meet those needs. And as Brian stated, I think the key information here is the levelized cost of this is $22.40 per megawatt hour for customers, compared to what if they were to do nothing and purchase it off the MISO market, the anticipated cost would be about $25 per megawatt hour. So the cost is lower, and so they can meet both their capacity and their energy needs. So what they can displace even current energy needs with a lower cost energy need if possible with a project like this. So it really kind of serves both the both goals that we look at with low cost and need. And so I think that this is an appropriate investment that the company is making, and I'll be supporting it today.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right. I have two items. We'll get started here. I move the commission adopt the second amended findings of fact, conclusions of law and order issuing second amended certificate of site compatibility number 23 in EDF Renewable Development, Inc., Maricourt Wind Power Project siting application, case number PU-08-932.
Second.
This project has a very long and interesting history. I'll try to consolidate it and hit on the high points, but going back to June 8th of 2011, the commission issued a finding of fact conclusion of law and gave them the certificate for this project, which was up to approximately 150 megawatt total wind turbine generating capacity and facilities in Dickey and McIntosh counties. On May 27th of 2015, they requested an amendment in the order to change the type of turbine they were going to use to install Vestas V100 2-megawatt turbines rather than the initially approved GE 1.5-megawatt turbines. So that was approved by the commission in 2015. Then in March of this last year, 2017, the company came back and applied for a second amended certificate of site compatibility to request further site plan revisions and turbine location flexibility within revised and expanded project area boundaries. The purpose of the amendment was to change the project layout to be consistent with the avoidance and or minimization measures that the company committed to for piping plovers and whooping cranes in coordination with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and to request approval of a revised project boundary and facility locations. So that was really what drove these latest changes, was interaction with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and concerns over piping plovers and whooping cranes. We had a hearing in Ashley on September 13th of 2017, and there was fairly good participation by the community and members of the public at that hearing. The revisions to the previous project boundary would increase the project area from approximately 10,900 acres to 13,100 acres. The additional acres of land did not add any new landowners to the project. The project layout includes 75 primary and 6 alternate turbine locations, and the proposed facility would be capable of producing up to 150 megawatts of power. The sound levels, the company testified that the sound levels and the new revised project layout would continue to be less than 50 decibels within 100 feet of all occupied residences. The updated shadow flicker analysis for the new layout predicted that shadow flicker would not exceed 14 hours per day at any occupied per year at any occupied residence. And results of the avian use survey indicated low eagle use in the project area. The North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office concurred with EDNF's no significant sites impacted for the turbine layout, access road, and collector line layout. No other exclusion areas have been identified in the project, and no avoidance areas have been identified in the project. ED&F committed to train and use available labor in this state for the general and specified or specialized skills required when possible. And the amended layout will enhance the compatibility of the project with environmental preservation by adjusting the turbine layout so each turbine is at least 3 miles distance from the critical piping plover habitat. So that was really ultimately one of the key changes in this proposed revised layout. The distance from the closest residence to a turbine under the revised layout is 1,531 feet to the closest occupied residence. I talked about the coordination that occurred with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and that they increased the distance from piping plover and whooping crane habitat to a larger distance and basically reduced the potential of any take to a discountable level, which really then mitigated the company's need to apply for and obtain a take permit from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. ED&F will install lights that are compatible with light mitigation technology in coordination with the FAA and approval by the FAA, and those lights will be installed and operational no later than December 31st of 2021. ED&F testified at the hearing that it has obtained all land rights necessary to construct the project as revised. They agreed voluntarily to comply with the Commission's new decommissioning requirements that we announced in May of 2017. And they will also voluntarily agreed to construct the project so that it complies with the recent change to North Dakota Century Code, which identifies areas less than 1 1/10 times the height of the turbine from a property line of a non-participating landowner and less than 3 times the height of the turbine from an inhabited rural residence of a non-participating landowner as a wind-specific exclusion area. So they will recognize those new setbacks that were approved by the legislature. A recent development that occurred prior to our last meeting and resulted in this being delayed was that one of the interveners in the project was the Laborers District, and they requested it made some requests in their post-hearing submissions that that related to certain employment issues, and in its they requested the approval of these, and the Commission has fully considered what those requests were. We had multiple consultations with our staff and our attorney about those requests, and we find that they are sufficiently covered by the requirements of the 2017 certification or otherwise not necessary for the Commission's decision. So with that, I think all the work in this project has been completed. Basically, in summary, they added about 1,200 acres to the total project, shifted away from sensitive areas at the recommendation of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It's the same number of turbines originally proposed and alternates, 150 megawatts, no new landowners, 1,500-foot setback from all occupied residences. They have about 2,700 acres of land within the project boundary that's not needed, and they intend to release that once the final turbine layout is complete and after construction is completed. They are abiding by the decommissioning requirements, so that's a nice plus compared to the previous order that was approved, and now we've had a change of rules. And so I think that all in all, this project is better than it was the first time it was approved a number of years ago, and it meets some new requirements that the Commission is now including in all our orders for wind development. And so in that regard, I think it's an improvement, and I'm pleased to support this.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the Commission adopt the order issuing first amended certificate of site compatibility number 30 in Elite Clean Energy Incorporated 100 megawatt clean energy number 1 wind project Mercer and Morton Counties case number PU-17-302.
Second.
Second.
Thank you, Brian. On August of this year, Elite Clean Energy filed an application for an amended certificate of site compatibility. Elite Clean Energy proposes to amend the original one to increase the total authorized project generating capacity from 100 megawatts to 106 megawatts. This is really that there will be no changes to the project roads or the turbine locations from the previously approved design. This comes down to them being able to deliver the maximum amount of power possible under their interconnection agreement. That's what's driving this change. So the Clean Energy Number 1 interconnection agreement allows delivery of 101.2 megawatts of power into the regional transmission grid. Increasing the nameplate generating capacity from 100 megawatts to 106 will offset any system losses and enable the delivery of the full 101.2 megawatt interconnection entitlement. So that's what's driving this change. The application submitted by Elite Clean Energy meets the site evaluation criteria under North Dakota Century Code. They will continue to the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and welfare of the citizens of North Dakota. And so I think this revision is in order as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
And just to emphasize, and correct me if I'm wrong, even though this has a new case number as opposed to the last one, which still has a 08 case number because it started long ago, this is not really a new item. This is a project that was approved years ago before I was here. I don't know what year. And really all we're doing here is changing it from 100 megawatts to 106 as opposed to a new siting hearing and all that kind of stuff. But even though it's a 17 number on the case, it is really involving an old case.
That's correct, Randy, and I'm not sure why the new number was added to this one. I'd have to check with staff.
I never figured that out either, but
not sure, and I don't see any of the folks.
And I don't think it matters really either. I just want to make it clear.
And this is actually the second of NSP's projects as a part of the 1,550 megawatt portfolio that they're proposing. The other projects are being built in South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa, but between Foxtail at 150 megawatts and this project at 102 megawatts or 100 megawatts, 106.
As approved by this today, if we approve it.
Yep, at 106. So we've got the that's the North Dakota portion, if you will, in terms of where the facilities are being constructed. And the rest will be built out of site, but it's a part of a very large overall plan that NSP has in place.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, that concludes our regular agenda. A couple of announcements. This first one, Brian mentioned already, but I don't want to exclude it in case someone's just tuning in. This coming Monday, November 20th at 11 o'clock, case number PU-17-284, that's at Foxtail Wind Energy Center down in Dickey County. That would be the siting hearing, and that will be at Fireside Restaurant in Allendale, North Dakota, at 11 o'clock this coming Monday, November 20th. Our next regular scheduled meeting is Wednesday, November 29th, right here at 10 o'clock as normal. Not too far in the heels of that, on December 6th, also a Wednesday at 9 o'clock, we have a special commission meeting on NSP's advanced determination of prudence on the Dakota Range wind application. And as I recall, that is just a contractor award or something like that. I don't think it's a necessarily a huge part. It's not like the siting hearing or to approve a project or something like that. I think it has to do with selecting a contractor, but it is on the agenda there for the 6th. And then just to get it out early, instead of every other week, in this case, we are going to do a 3-week jump from that meeting on the November 29th. The next regular commission meeting will be on Wednesday, December 20th at 10 o'clock here as normal. I have no other announcements, so with that, we will stand in recess for some questions from the press and then follow that with a break for a few minutes and then move into our admin agenda.
So it looks like you, if I'm counting right, you considered 4 different wind projects today. I mean, is that any kind of sign that there's just, you know, pretty significant interest in wind projects at this time?
There is a lot of interest in the wind wind projects, and these are, you know, the siting is the one thing, and that's probably the thing that the public is the most interested in. The other is the certificate of need or public convenience and necessity, and that's kind of a different project, but it still looks at, you know, it's a key piece of the overall wind development. I'll say at NARUC, the discussion there continues to be heavy on renewables and how it's going to be, how you're going to back up renewables on a nationwide. I think that that's just the trend that most states are looking at and pushing towards. And there's a lot of talk about batteries and how the batteries are evolving. And so that's going to be the next big issue on the agenda is how do you back them up? Is it with natural gas? Is it with batteries? Both, combination, other fossil fuels, nuclear. So I don't see, despite the fact that there's some question in the air about the future of the PTCs or the tax credits for solar, I think the industries, the costs have come down enough where there's going to continue to be interest in the development of those renewables, even with a less generous tax incentives to do so.
There's no question that wind development, the increased activity is being driven by the production tax credit and companies seeking to get full credit, going back to the 2016, utilizing the safe harbor provision, which requires 5% investment. And when we've visited with companies during the hearing process, they've indicated that the expiring PTCs are playing a part in bringing this wind online as quickly as they can. So no question about it. It's being driven by the current framework of the production tax credit and how it expires over time.
I agree with that, and just I'll add one more angle on it. I agree with what Brian just said, and Julie's interesting point that efficiencies in the industry have probably made it that it would be pursued with less incentives. But as long as these incentives out there, it is the driving force. I mean, when somebody's dangling free money in front of you, a lot of them are choosing to take it and figure out what to do later with the backups issues.
On the Thunder Spirit, did I get that right, that the new turbines are going to be 3 megawatt and there are going to be 16 new turbines?
Correct. Yep, 16 new at 3 megawatt.
Yet the nameplate only goes to up another 5 megawatts, correct?
Previously, the nameplate capacity was at 150 megawatts already.
Yeah.
The turbine build-out at the time brought it up to, was it 107.5, I believe, and the expansion will push beyond that just slightly to make up for line losses.
That's how the math works, then.
Right. I had to double-check it a few times and do catch-up as well from an old case, so our previous case.
I have a question about the life cycle of turbines, because I've heard a little bit of discussion on that. Have you had, or will companies approach you saying we need to replace turbines and Is that part of everything?
Sure.
I don't think there's any question. Some of the older facilities, wind facilities that are in place, the turbines that were used at the time, the technology wasn't quite as good. They weren't lasting as long. The new construction, new style turbine, if you will, the technology has improved. They last longer. But I think repowering, it's occurring in Iowa, and I don't think there's any question it will occur in North Dakota as well. So
we've already had NextEra talk to staff pretty extensively about looking at repowering some of their facilities and incorporating the new light technology at the same time. So, and I think there's some opportunity for companies. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I think that there's opportunity for companies to even potentially qualify for a new round of 100% PTCs with the repowering. So that's another driving force for some of that. But I will say we've looked, Otter Tail has done some, has provided some figures to us that show that the actual wear and tear of the turbines, they're lasting longer and costing less to maintain than they anticipated, at least with Otter Tail Power's experience. And so, you know, I think like Brian was saying, the new technology is more efficient, allows them to capture the wind more efficiently, more of it, more of the time. And so that's going to drive them to look at the repowering. I don't think it's that they're wearing out and there's an maintenance issue that's costing them a lot of money, so they want to replace it. It's just they're more efficient with the newer models.
So can we see over the next few years we might see a lot more repowering? It's possible?
Sure.
Well, I think it's absolutely beyond possible. I think it's very likely.
And they but do have to come
remember, back. You know, a lot of our wind production in North Dakota has come online in just the last few years. And so, you know, those probably aren't that ripe for it. But, you know, we had, you know, the development in the first decade, and I think a lot of those are.
Anything
else? Okay, we will come back for the admin portion at 10:50.
I don't know if you guys are, I did forget to